بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. There was one Maulana Habib al-Rahman Sahib, who was the murid of Hazrat Maulana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. And there was an understanding between both these buzurgs, Hazrat Maulana Raipuri Sahib and Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Alayhi, that the murids will visit each other's, the murids will respectively meet the two mashayikh, that is the Sheikh and Hazrat Maulana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. So it is the Sheikh's murids, but he will meet Maulana Raipuri Sahib, or it is Maulana Raipuri's murids, but they will meet the Sheikh. Mashayikh have different ways, different systems, and it is right to follow the system, understand the system, and follow the system. Don't ask now, alright, this buzurg has got this system in place, and why hasn't my Sheikh got this system in place? According to temperaments, according to needs, according to times, according to people, the systems may change. Mannerisms and the mechanics may change according to times, persons, temperaments, etc. One person was sent to Raipur by the Sheikh Ramatai, so he complained. Sitting after to awabin parne ka waqt nahi diya jata. You don't get time to perform the awabin. The reason being that immediately after Maghrib, meals are served and the guests are asked to participate of the meals. So when they're partaking of the meals, so they don't get time to perform the awabin with ease. Anyway, he came to Saharanpur. So Sheikh asked Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, what must we suggest for this person? He's got a complaint now against the person that we sent him. We sent him to Raipur and he's got a complaint. The complaint is that he doesn't get time to perform his awabin. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah says, alright, keep him here for a week, and he can do all his awabin as much as he wants. And then after that, send him out in Jamaat, 4 months. Then he mustn't be here, he must be going out in Jamaat. Anyway, he got very much disappointed that this was the suggestion that was given to him, that he must stay here for a week and then go out in Jamaat for 4 months. He expressed his dissatisfaction to Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, you know, you made such a suggestion, you cut me off from the Sheikh now. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah says, see, we lightened the sentence for you. The actual sentence was, you mustn't be here at all. For a person like you, for a mind of his own, then the actual sentence would have been that you go if complete. We lightened it, you stay here for a week and then you go out. And now and then you come here. Once in a year or something you come here. So the idea was to get his mind right. When you have been sent here for a treatment, then you must conform with the requirements of that place. Then you can't say, no, they don't have this and they don't have it like this. You've gone for an eye treatment, for example, right? So the optician that is seeing you, then he will first test your eyes out, the strength of your sight, right? So put your eyes here, open your eyes. What can you see here, right? Can you see this first line, second line, third line? Can you read well, right? So after he examines you properly, then he will give you a spectacle, right? He'll put you into a different test, right? If you go to a dentist and say, open your mouth, right? Close your mouth now. Now open your mouth, close your mouth, open your mouth. Now, if you're not happy with the dentist, can that treatment go well? You must just conform with him. Whatever he tells you, you must conform. You can't tell him now, hey, make me open my mouth. I said, like this. I can't make my zikr now. So make me open my mouth, then I can't make my zikr. But if you're going to carry on like this, will the treatment go complete? You will have to listen to him. In a certain way, that is the way that's chalked out. You just conform that way, inshallah, things will go well. Now imagine now, a sheikh has got 100, 200 people coming in, right? And everybody has got his own way. He's got one way, he's got another way, he's got another way. Now if the sheikh has to make considerations for each person that's coming in, then can he work? He can't work. He said, no, he has to read the awabin after Maghrib, so his meals will give him after Isha. And this person here, he wants his meals immediately, so we have to give him his meals immediately. And this person here, he doesn't want it immediately, he wants it half an hour later. Okay? Now, can that place work? It's going to be very difficult. It's taxing for that place. The right thing is now, by people of different temperaments, you will agree with one temperament. But one person to be able to adjust to 200 temperaments is going to be difficult. Now, it's a simple thing. When everybody's got a mind of his own, then it becomes difficult. You must understand, right? They made a system, and they made a system for a certain reason. Right? And then when we want the benefit from that place, then we need to conform, we need to agree. Right? You are traveling by plane, right? Then they'll tell you something, all right, put your seat straight. So you have to keep your seat straight. Put your seat belt. All right, put your seat belt. Then as you landing or you're taking off, they want you to open the blind. You mustn't close the blind. You must do that, right? So they got different requirements. Now, as the plane is moving and you want to keep your seat belt open, they're going to reprimand you. Right? When there's some turbulence, they want you to sit down. You mustn't be moving on the aisle and you want to be moving around, right? Or, you say, now what is whatever plane? I can't even smoke here. At home I smoke at leisure. Yeah, I can't even smoke one cigarette. I paid so much, 10,000 rand I paid for this flight, and one cigarette I can't smoke. What type of a plane? Then, can they work with you? They can't work with you. Because they know that they've instituted certain plans. Why they instituted certain things? For the convenience of the entire flight. If you want to conform, it's going to be enjoyable, manageable for all. But if you're going to disagree that why they're doing this, they should supposed to be doing it like this, it's going to be a problem. So now the sheikh has got so many people coming in. Now he says, all right, do it in one way. In the way that I am suggesting, just do it this way. Then you mustn't counter-answer him. Why like this? Why not like this? Unless he asks himself, what do you feel about this? Right. And or perhaps you can't manage some things. He told you to do something and you can't manage it. He told you, for example, you must fast for 25 days in the month, right? And you don't have the stamina. So you tell him, I don't have the stamina for that, right? Or it fasts for 2 days, I got a stamina for that. Something that you can't manage, you tell him you can't manage it. And the guess is that he won't tell you to do things that you can't manage. That's the guess. But you need to understand that there is a thing like conforming. Conform with whatever he's teaching you. His teachings are just conform, agree with it. And you see a lot of progress. Conform with it and agree with it wholeheartedly. And you see a lot of progress. But the moment you begin to have, in the words of one Raipuri Sabrahmane, hush husha, hesitation, reservation, why this, and why is he asking me to do this, and why must I leave out this, and can't I do it like this? Or is this the right person that I have linked up to? It may be a wrong person. I shouldn't have been here in the first place. I've linked up here and I've made a big mistake. So you've got all these doubts in your mind. When you've got all this hesitation, this reservation in your mind, now you can't benefit. That reservation may seem to be just a mental thing. This may be a mental thing. But it is such a serious thing that it will be an impediment. Whatever the Shaykh is saying now, you're going to be just rebutting it. Coming and it's getting butted out. It's coming in and it's getting thrown out. It won't be just taken by the heart completely and entirely. So this mind of your own, don't have the mind of your own. Just conform, just soften up, listen, understand, apply yourself. You see how smooth this journey will be. They say, one ant complained to the pigeon, you know, that you're such a beautiful creature and you've got so many opportunities. You can travel the world, whichever part of the world you want, you can travel. No immigrations, no problems, right? No customs, and no restrictions. You can just move. You just thought of traveling and you're traveling. When you want to go for Umrah, you can just go for Umrah. You want to see Madinah Munawwarah, you are there already. It may take you about 10 days or something, but you will reach Madinah Munawwarah, right? Go to America, you go on there. You want to go to Australia, going. Yeah? And we can't go for Umrah, we can't go for Hajj, we can't go for the Ziyarat, we can't go to the Madinah Munawwarah. Our restriction is all tight and narrow. We're constrained. So the pigeon felt very sorry for the ant. So it says to the ant, okay, see what you do? You get into my feet, right? And tuck yourself into my feathers. But just do two things. One is you hold firmly to my feet. You don't give up my feet. Just hold on firmly. And the second requirement is that you don't look at the ground. You just close your eyes for the duration of the journey. You just close your eyes. So it's given it instructions that you will hold on to my feet. And number two, you won't look at the ground. Now, the pigeon knows why it's telling him, why it's commanding him. If he's not going to hold tightly, and there's a turbulent something, he may just slip off and he'll fall down dead. Right? And if he's going to look at the ground, then what's going to happen, he may see, all right, this is the height that they're moving. Underneath, I don't see any ground. I can't see anything. We're moving with the clouds. I don't see. Perhaps there's water right under. If I fall from him, what's going to happen? He may get a shock and he may just let go. So if the ant is not going to conform, it's to its peril. But if it's going to listen, right, it may be a little bit difficult now. Close your eyes for so many days. Don't look. Hold on so firmly. Like how you got tie the seat belt, right? Then smoothly, comfortably, it will reach Makkah Mukarramah. It will reach to Madinah Munawwarah. Whatever it wants to do, it will do. Right? So this conformity, agreement, they know why they're asking you to do these things here. It's not that they're asking you to do these things here because of just some routine or some ritual. You know. They know why they're asking you to do it. But have you got it within you to accept? They are giving it to you, but have you got it within your mind to accept? Meanwhile, the mashayikh are not zalims also. They won't ask you to do things. It's unmanageable. You say, you have a sheikh and a murid, you have a yogi, and you have a chela, right? So one person came in to become a chela. So they told him, you know, a chela is very, very difficult to become. 24 hours you must be on call. Murid, the yogi wants this, you must provide it for him, water, this, whatever. You have to see to his requirements 24/7 all the time. And he says, what about a yogi? He says, a yogi relaxes, eats, drinks. He has a pleasant time. So all right, make me a yogi then. Straight. You know, bypass it, go straight into so now you have a yogi now, and he's got his chela, right? So, yogi is going to take khidmat from him. He'll take any type of khidmat, whatever gets into his mind, whatever he wants, he will take khidmat from him. And the yogi, as he's taking the khidmat, he's impressing upon the chela that, you see, you listen to me, you'll progress. So you must keep me happy all the time, and that's your progress. So now the chela is very, very vigilant. I need to see this man, and I need to keep him happy. Yogi asked for water, right? So now he went to the river to fetch some water for the yogi. So as he's coming to the bank, so he sees that perhaps the water that's at the bank is a little bit sandy. You know? So let me go a little bit deep and get crystal water for him. So the yogi will get happy, I'll get some dua's blessings and I'll progress. So as he went a little bit deep, he slipped in. He slipped in and he's dipping out. Deep water, he couldn't see that, and it was deep water, so he's dipping. He's dipping and he doesn't know how to swim, and he's coming up, he's dipping. So he's complaining to the yogi, Meto mara dub gaya, Meto mara, Meto dub gaya. I am dying now, I am drowning. So the yogi is not worried, see. The yogi is worried, not worried at all, not in the least. He's lying down and he says, Chela, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Tu mar gaya, hum aap se khush hai. Tum zinda rahe, to hum aap se khush hai. Whether you die, be happy with you. You're alive, we're still happy with you. Now the Shaykh is totally different. The concept here is different. Hazrat Jir Ahmad gave an incident. Numerous times he used to give this incident. There was some milk or something that had come in. And they were asked, the Murids were asked to boil the milk. You know, when it's raw milk, you have to boil it to preserve that thing. So it's fresh milk, fresh and rich milk, so you find a lot of cream. So now, mistakenly or whatever, deliberately or mistakenly, they wipe the cream out, you see. Big mistake, that. I remember when I was in India, I stayed a few days in Jalalabad. So in the winter you get milk right throughout, but I bought milk in the winter. I must have bought about less than a liter for the day. Now you won't get again. So you have to boil the thing for that thing to remain till the next day. So I boiled the thing, and without any exaggeration, there was over a cup of cream, pure thick cream. You can imagine how thick, how good the milk must have been. So as Muris, they wiped off the cream now. Now they wipe off the cream and they got a shock. Now, what we did? We finished it up and then we realized we have made a mistake. So they said, oh, we made a mistake. We messed it up now. So they reported to the Sheikh, no, you know, we made this mistake here. Sheikh said, all right, how much y'all eat? Ate so much. So all right. So y'all stand in the sun. All right. That sweat that must come out must be in proportion to the cream that y'all ate. Right. Put him into a difficult orient. But then the Sheikh, he thought to himself, see, I put them into difficulty, then I must go through difficulty myself as well. So it's all right, you're stood in the sun, how much perspiration? So much. Cup, water, whatever. Right? Then I must take out double that amount of my blood. So my blood must be equal to your perspiration. It mustn't be that you went and exerted yourself and I didn't go through any pain. I must also go through pain because of your pain. So here it's different. Here it's for Allah Ta'ala. Right? But now, when they administer a treatment, why do they administer a treatment? See? Now imagine a car traveling, right? And there are traffic officers. But they're very lenient, right? Very, very lenient. You speed, all right, next time don't speed, you know. Travel nicely, you reach safely. Have a good journey, don't speed. So they caution you. You think you're going to observe the traffic signs. Right? But on the contrary, you've got traffic officers, you know, at every 20 case, you've got a traffic officer, and they're very strict. They tell you, "Bhai, there's no second offense here. One offense and it's the last offense. You, three things will happen. We will take away your license from you. You won't get your license back until 10 years. And you're going to go immediately to prison, or you pay 100,000 rand fine. One of the two. I ask you now, will you find anybody contravening those traffic rules?" Why? Yes. So human nature, it only straightens up when there is some burden upon it. When there's a penalty imposed, when there's a burden, then only it straightens up. But you light and you're relaxing, you're very casual, very calm man, he doesn't straighten up. Don't you see that happening in school and university? They tell you, but you fail, you have to repeat the entire year. So the laziest student also, he'll have to work around the time. He said, "Hey, the whole year, I have to repeat this whole year. So much of time of mine will be wasted. And such an embarrassment, the whole year I have to repeat." Whereas only two marks and he failed. He came down just by 2 marks. And they won't allow him to be in the next class now. He has to remain in the same class for the entire year. So he feels so embarrassed, he feels so disgraced, and he feels so demotivated. "No, I must work, and see that I go through these examinations favorably." So that's human nature. Until you don't put a burden, then that man doesn't straighten up. So the mashayikh also sometimes, they put a burden onto you. Now if they just caution you very lightly, then you're not going to be serious about the whole thing. One friend of mine tells me, "You know, my gunnas in Tajweed, my gunna got it right, you know, Mias Farm. What happens now? I learned that quarter very, very well. I was supposed to take that one quarter or half a sipara, door. Hafiz Rahman Sahib Rahmatullahi. And I learned it very well and I went to give it, you know. So I came, the 20th sipara, Amma yujibul muttarra ila da'a. But I failed to make the gunna, you know, to make a nasal sound. Amma yujibul muttarra. So I failed to make the nasal sound. Now I prepared this for over 3 hours and I went to recite it because they have to read with tajweed, you know, like you're reading in a khirat now. So you read it so well. So I prepared it so well and I give it. But I slipped up in this word, Amma yujibul muttarra. I said, "Send me back. Go." Another 3 hours, 4 hours went to get that thing right again. You think he says, he tells me, "You think I'll ever make this guna mistake again?" I was sent back. If the ustad would have said, "Oh, hey, you know, you missed out the guna, just correct it," I wouldn't have learned it so well. Now I was sent back 3 hours, and I know what it took me, that 3 hours I was pushed back. I could have learned so much more. But just one small mistake I made, and he sent me back. So that sticks into me, right? He came and told me after 40 years. It was about 1969, 70 in the Mias Farm. He came and told me about 2-3 years ago. So over 40 years, that thing is still sticking in his mind, you see. So his mashayikh will tell you some things, and they will tell you why that lesson must become like a permanent lesson. You just tell him lightly, casually, "By you're very good, you know, you mustn't do this. You must speak lies. You're such a good person. You mustn't look at girls, eh?" You think he's going to leave it out. But you impose a penalty now for his whole life, he'll never do such a thing. So they give you a lesson for the lesson to remain firm within you. Hazrat Jir Ahmed used to give this incident. I repeated this incident. I'm just showing you the philosophy, why they do this thing here. It's not not a show, or not to show the authority and the power and might and glory, you know. There was one Nizamuddin Balkhi, rahmatullahi, right? Balkhi is Afghanistan. In the old days, now we're talking about 300 years ago, when there's no trains, no planes, no motor cars, nothing motor, right? 300 years ago. So now he's traveled from India right to Balkh. So it's over 1,000 kilometers, Afghanistan. Two people traveled for the Islah, for the correction. A correction is correction. You must correct yourself. Now, correction has got two dimensions. When you talk of Islam, one is your character, right? And number two, the awareness and the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So these two things has to come into the play. The character must be right, and the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala must be complete. You only got a little bit of consciousness, but you slip up in your character, then it's an incomplete job. Just now you'll hurt someone, you'll fight with someone, you'll argue with someone, right? So it's incomplete. So it's only going to be complete if you got the character right, and you got this right as well. One Mulana, now, in the old days what used to happen, person completed his course, so he'll go to a khanqa, to a buzurg, and he'll stay there for some time. So they used to go to the buzurgs in that time, like Mawlana Rai Puri Sahib, the Sheikh, Mawlana Madani Rahmatullahi, and Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, all those that existed used to go there. So he chose to go to Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi for his Islam. Ramadan time, and around this time, like 9, 10 o'clock, there is a session. At about 12 o'clock is a session, and at about 9, 10 o'clock is infiradi, individual ibadat. You get time for both individual and collective, right? So in the individual time, now you sit in the masjid and recite your Quran Sharif, someone is doing a zikr, someone is reading Munajat al Maqbool, Hizbul Azam, whatever zikr is prescribed. So he's seated and he's doing, he came to the masjid and he took a place next to someone and he started his work. Now the masjid is quite big, spacious, and you don't have to be seated so close, right? Because, see, someone is making dua, right? And you sit very close to him, or he's making zikr, and you sit very close. One is now how you have it here. It's a different thing, right? But it's an individual time. In the individual time, you don't have to be very close, unless you are joining up for the first serve, queuing up for the first serve. It's a different thing. But in your own time, then what's the need to be very close? But if you're going to be very close, then it's not going to be a very healthy situation. Because when you're making dua, then you want to cry sometimes. And someone is sitting right next to you, then you feel a bit embarrassed, you feel a bit difficult. Right? You want to make zikr sometimes, sometimes you want to make it a little bit loud, sometimes a bit soft, sometimes you want to cry. But now someone is sitting right next to you, then you find it a little bit difficult. You feel a little bit awkward. Now, people's feelings is part of your character molding. To understand people's feelings, how they feel, not to make them feel uncomfortable, right? So you have to preempt now, is this going to make the person uncomfortable, or will he be all right? If you're not going to preempt, you're just going to carry on, then you may hurt people, you don't even realize that you're hurting people. Right? You are performing namaz here, and someone is waiting for you, right? He comes and sits right next to you. Right? Won't you feel uncomfortable? He came and sat right next to you. So are you going to feel uncomfortable or not? Yeah, it's an emergency now. Strict, you know, you can't even, there's no alternative. It's an emergency. You have to do it. Then you have to do it. But otherwise, you know now that it's going to make that person uncomfortable. He can feel your presence and he'll feel sort of strained. Hey, you know, this person came right here next to me. I don't feel the freedom of what I'm doing. So they will guide you in all these things here. What you say, what you talk, how you talk. Because this is a training session. When it's a training session, then you need to get yourself trained correctly. Now, these are small things, but to show now, see, they irritate the person. One person is telling me, I'll wear one Diobandi topi, but you must break on sunnat. The sunnat now, not a sunnat. You must do this here, but I'll wear a Diobandi topi. You know, why? Because now it's a difficult thing to wear a Diobandi topi. Right? So I'm going to do this difficult thing, so then you must just participate in this. Now, it's not a good thing to talk about. Now, move away from the sunnah, then I'm prepared to do this. See, the Islam is very, very bad. Means he hasn't understood Islam. Islam is very, very backwards. He doesn't know what is Islam. But Islam is to conform with the sunnah. Now, he wants me to participate, provided he wears a diobandi topi. He's going to be doing a very awkward thing. So for that, now I must give in and participate. Now, you see the difficulty. You know, on our side, we can't even hurt that person's feeling. Now, you need to realize, you need to understand. See, so that Islam is your thought, understand, right? You don't ask him to adjust to you, you adjust to him. He may understand things that you don't understand. You can't go and ask everything of why you did this, why do you do this. The whole path becomes very cumbersome, very, very cumbersome. See, that's why Khizr al-Islam told Musa al-Islam, don't ask me anything until I relate to you. So that means I've got some knowledge that you don't have, as great as you are, but I've got some knowledge that you don't have. And you're going to ask me in between, you're going to interrupt this whole session. So don't ask anything. لَا تَسْأَلْنِي عَنْ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. I will relate, then only you will understand. But you in between, you mustn't come and ask me. See the thought processing to correct. Now why does the thought processing, why is it so important? It's so important because eventually that murid is going to be the representative of the sheikh. Right? You're going to go out. When you're going to go out, right? So you are expected to dispense hidayat, guidance, etc. But if you don't have a right set of character, then what are you going to display? You're going to hurt one person here, you're going to fight with the next person, you're going to distress people, make them feel distressed, right? But if you learned all these things, you won't be a pain in the neck. Won't be a difficulty. You know what to talk, you know your limits, you know what to do, what not to do, how to conform, how to agree, how not to agree. All these things you've learned. See how important these things are. So one is the character and one is the consciousness of Allah. That is two different things. Right? In some places it may just connect, but they are two different things. Character and consciousness. Mawlana Zafar Ahmad Usmani Sahib Rahmatullahi was a writer of Ela Sunan, right? Very great alim, Mawlana's nephew. So he saw Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi in his dream, and he asked Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, make dua for me, ke main sahib and nisbat ban jao, that I become, have a special relationship with Allah. So Hadi Sahib told him, tum sahib and nisbat ho, you already are there. لیکن اگر اخلاق سیکھنے ہو تم اپنے ماموں کے پاس چلے جاؤ. You learn character, then go to your uncle, as Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. On the dream here now, as Mawlana Sahib used to say, now character building requires, now you have to tension the person at every step, what he's doing here, you have to tension the person, you have to correct the person. So that correction, nobody likes, right? Who likes it? You straighten up here, don't do this, nobody likes that, right? So Mawlana used to say after that, he says, میں تو زندوں میں تو بدنام تھا ہی, اب تو مردوں میں بھی بدنام ہو گیا ہوں. That in the living, I already had a bad name, that I tension up, I scold, I reprimand everybody. Now in the dead also know that I'm doing this thing here. But I said, what? I got no alternative, I have to do it. These people are coming here, they're not thinking. People come for one tawis now. Right? So they sit down there. Kya kaam hai nahi? Tumhari jiyarat ke liye aaye hai. Dihati, now they're talking their own language. Came for your blessings. All right. Now as he's leaving now, kuch tawis bhi bana deta. Now when he's leaving, you should have just made one tawis for me. I asked you at the beginning, what's your work? At that time you got nothing. Now it's my time to go. Now you see, now you should make one tawis. You see now. So you have to correct those people. See, when I asked you in your khidmat, you should have told same time. That time I have dedicated for you people. Now it's my personal time. Now you're going to be encroaching my time, disturbing me. people consider this a small thing, but you work on this thing here, you understand how important it is. Then you get another person coming up, sit down, it's all right. What you want, say Tawiz, all right. So Maha says, me samjhane, I haven't understood. No. Then you shout, say, Tawiz chahata hai. All right. I'm not deaf, but I didn't understand what you say. After 10 times, then he says, no, I want Tawiz, why? My child got a flu or something, and make a Tawiz for that. So you could have said that at the first point, you came there, you know, you go to a doctor, you don't just say to the doctor that I'm ill. So, where was the doctor start off from? I'm ill now. What's ailing in you? Tooth ail, eye ache, headache, cough, flu, what's happened to you? So you need to think, you need to be complete. Don't unnecessarily distress that person. You told him exactly, this is my problem. So he doesn't have to ask you, now, what's your problem, how you feel, you know, where's the pain, and how's the pain like? He doesn't ask you these things yet. What is plain and simple, you can express it to him. You make that life so easy for him and for yourself. See, so Moa had this double function. One is to teach character, and one is to connect. And he used to say, you see, the simpler things I do, character, bolding, etc., and the more complicated things, or the more difficult things, you know, connecting with Allah Ta'ala, bigger mashayikh must do it, you see. He would say this out of humility, although what he's doing is very great. Because if the character is done, then you're automatically the nisbat is done already. It's so great to get the character right. And if the character is not right, you didn't know what is character, then your nisbat also can just go up and down like that. It can just fluctuate. Yeah? Because it's possible that you hurt someone, right? And your nisbat goes away. We should see the story. I don't know how many times I heard this from him. He says that Sheikh was seated with Mawla Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullah's uncle. And there was one Hafiz Sahib, not taking his name, who was the Khalifa of Mawla Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullah. He's a great person. He's a Khalifa of Mawla Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullah. So this Khalifa, it's a time of the election, and there was a fatwa that was passed against some person that was standing up, you see. Some fatwa was passed. So this Hafiz Sahib, he said, Mauliyo ka fatwa hai, uska kya aitibar? Kabhi halal keh dete hai, kabhi haram keh dete hai. Is there fatwas now? You can't take it so serious. Now sometimes they make it halal, they make it haram and all that. You can't take it so seriously. Approximately, these were the things that he said. Sheikh Ramtari looked at him and he said, ye jo fatwa hai, ye shariat ki baatein hoti hai. Aur shariat ki baatein ko is tarah se halka samajhna, to mujhe dar hai ke kahin tumhari nisbat salb na ho jaye. The aspects of Shariat and you taking it lightly, you know, I am afraid that that nisbat that you've got, that will be taken away from you. That nisbat that you've got with such a great buzurg, but that will be taken away from you. Ilyas Abraham says, when I was there, Ilyas Abraham says, jab mere sheikh ki aankh ko lal peeli jad hoti hui dekh raha tha, to main bhi saham gaya. When I saw Sheikh's eyes just changing color, you know, I got a shock. So it is so important that character building is so important. So important. You may hurt someone, something he said, and you don't even realize it. You don't realize that the mistake that you have made. You consider it to be a small thing, insignificant thing. It's hurt the person. And when it's hurt the person, now your taraqqi stopped. Sufyan Suri Ramtai says, great, great muhaddis, he says, that for a period of 6 months, I couldn't get up for my tahajjud namaz. For a period of 6 months. Then I realized that I saw someone in zikr and ibadat and dua, and I said to myself, he's doing this just out of show. I said it myself, that this person is just doing this out of show. The consequence was this, that for 6 months I was deprived of my tahajjud namaz. Now you see how it gets affected. That akhlaq, when that akhlaq is not right, that character is not right, and how you can get affected. So to be so careful, to be so cautious in your words, in your interaction, in your behavior, in your conduct, what you're doing, what you're saying. So the mashayikh, when they put you through this training, it is not for entertainment. It is for you to conscientize you, to wake you up, to conscientize you, build you up. So we came back to the story of this alim that just came for his Islam. Now, at that time, what used to happen, I remember until we were studying, there should be ulama coming in for Islam for sometimes 7 months, 8 months, 1 year. People are coming in, staying at the khanqah. Then there's no other work, unless it's with the permission of the sheikh. Like I was there for about 6 months. So I asked if I could do some kitab also. So I used to do some kitab as well, but then with the sheikh's consent. Then you don't do things of your own. See, learn to conform into a plan, into a program. Right? Anyway, whilst this alim is done, it's Ramadan session. He came and sat next to one person, and he started whatever he started. One time, he's right at the back, and he's observing what's going on. So he called for this alim. He calls for him. So he asks him, "But you know, you came and sat at this spot here. What was the reason for you to sit at this spot?" "You know, I came to read my namaz." So no, Master says, "I'm repeating the question. It's such a vast and a spacious masjid. You left the whole masjid and you came and sat next to this person here. Why do you choose to sit right next to him?" Now he realized that he slipped up. So he says, no, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have sat down there. So why? See, he's training the person now. Like I say, that alim is going to be your representative. So you have to train him. But why you think that you've slipped up? What's your mistake? No, I have invaded his privacy. He was in private now. And I sat right next to him. I've invaded his privacy. All right, you understood, you have made a mistake. All right. Now that you have made a mistake, now what should be the punishment? What should be the penalty? See, he's building the person up. Conscientizing, see, building the person up. So he said, all right, what I'll do is I will straighten all the musalli's shoes. So Mawla says, well, that's a thing of praise. The whole khanqah will say, hey, you know, this Mawlana came. What a humble being he is, man. He straightens everybody's shoes. So everybody's going to give you an applaud and praise. So are you going to go any lower or are you going to go higher? See, when they ask you to straighten shoes, they'll understand who they're asking. They won't ask everybody to do it. Now you can't say, no, the sheikh told one person to straighten the shoe. So this is a standard medication like a Panado. Headache, take it. It depends upon the individual. For one person is this. For another person is something else. You can't say, no, the sheikh said this. So now across the board, everybody will apply the same thing. You can't say that. So, all right, what I'll do is I'll go and clean the drains. You know, India, the drains are a little bit bad, you see. Because you don't have a flowing water, it's well water, and sometimes the mucus, the spit, everything collects there. Sometimes it's quite bad, right? So I'll go and clean all that up. So Mawla says, but this is even worse, because that is a little bit of humility. This is even worse, because the dirt and the muck you're going to clean with your hands, it's going to be even worse. And people say, what a humble person, what a pious person. You're going to get a praise, you're going to get an applaud. So it's not going to work out for you. So now he's stuck now. So he says to Ma, whatever you said is. Ma said, that can't work out. See, you make the mistake and I must show the penalty. If you made a mistake, then you suggest the penalty. See, he's an alim now. An alim, like I say, has to be a representative. So he has to open up his mind. His mind must open up. All right, you know, I did this. This was the penalty, etc. You know, how to work this out. So, all right, now, it was a very difficult one for him to say. But no option, because everything he's suggesting is not working out. One thing he suggested not worked out. Second thing he's suggesting is not working out. Now, so all right, the only thing I can think of now is that, all right, I get a banning order from the Khanqah for a few days. That was the worst. Now, you know, to be out, you came here to be staying here, right? And I say, no, no, you get out of here, go stay in the top masjid. How does the person feel? He feels real, real embarrassed, isn't it? You came here well prepared, mentally, everything, came to stay here. Then you get an order, move away, go stay in the top masjid. How do you feel? So, do you feel, oh, it's a masjid here, it's a masjid there? Do you feel like that? You don't feel that. You feel very embarrassed. But let it come out from himself so he understands. Right? So, all right, I'll go to Jalalabad and stay with Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh for a week or so. So he went up and he wrote a letter, you know, I'm sorry, I apologize, I understand my mistake. That I've done this and I understand my mistake. So I asked for an apology. So Hazrat Muhammad's reply came in. He says, Dil saaf hai, sab maaf hai. Chunanchay, tum wapas chale aao. See, if the sheikh now, his heart is cleared, see, you made a mistake and his heart is cleared, that's a sign that, inshallah, that the correction has taken place. And when the correction has taken place, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you also. Illa ladhina tabu wa aslahu. You corrected yourself, so inshallah, the stain is cleared up. When the stain is cleared up, so inshallah the correction has taken place. When the correction has taken place, then inshallah Allah has forgiven you. Sab maaf hai, dil saaf hai, chunanche tum wapas chale aao. But now see the whole exercise you have to put him through. Now we will see such a small misdemeanor like this, and you have to get the marching instruction, get out of here, go there. The whole exercise, 1 week it took him just to correct himself in that respect. But now I ask you from a different dimension, that won't this be serving as a lifelong lesson? Okay, I mustn't be a strain to anybody. I mustn't distress anybody. I must be so careful. I must preempt. Okay, I'm going to do this. Is this person going to feel awkward or not? Will I then ever mispark my car incorrectly? Will I ever incorrectly park my car? Or I'm coming into an area, will I hoot and disturb the whole surrounding? I won't do this. You know, the one time I got shouted there. 1 week I had to go out. So that lesson will be deep in his heart. So that person will be a joy anywhere he goes. Whether he's going in Jamaat, he's going in the Khanqah, whether he's going, he's teaching, wherever he is now, he's going to be a pleasure. Okay? He's so careful. He doesn't hurt anybody. He's not a distress. He's not a pain in the neck. Wherever he is, he's a pleasure. He's at a madrasa, he's coming on time. Leaving on time. Because he understands that one day he caught it, right? One injection he got. So now that, he's coming on time, going on time, his work is all up to date. So, people find it pleasant to work with the person. You're not a pain to anybody, right? Now that is the very essence of mu'asharat, right? Social ethics. Social ethics, the whole essence of social ethics, I mustn't do anything. I must preempt that in this work here, is it going to be hurtful? Is it going to be comfortable for the next person or not? Must I say this or not at this occasion? Like people are seated to eat now, you know, say eating at iftar now, right? And right around that time, someone says, "Hey, but that person is sick, man. He's gone to hospital." Now, is that the right time to say this? It was the right thing that he's sick, that's all right, the correct thing. But was that the right time to say it? Everybody seated, hungry for the whole day, they sat down to eat. Right? And now you come and say, but that person went to hospital, you know. Now, is that the time to say this thing? Or you ask, all right, hey, you know, your son was sick now, how's he now? is it the time to ask this thing? It's not the time to ask now, because the person's mood just changes now. If you sit seated to eat, right, and someone tells you, your father died now, right? Can you eat? Automatically, the appetite just breaks. You can't eat now. So that's not the time to say these things yet. It's a time and an occasion, when to say it, how to say it. So this is the very crux, the very essence of social etiquette. Right? That I must preempt not to hurt anybody. I mustn't say, no, I didn't have intentions to hurt. I must preempt, I must try and work out within my mind that I must conduct myself in such a way that nobody must feel hurt. Now, which is a time to come and talk, what to say, what not to say, how to word myself. Now you go anywhere, you'll find that man is a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to be with that person. He'll talk of things that you feel enjoyable, you'll feel happy. You don't feel distressed. You don't feel cornered. You know. That's the whole mu'ashara. And what I used to say that, you know, it's a misfortune, such a great misfortune, that we don't consider this mu'ashara, social etiquettes, as part of our deen. Whereas the Quran Sharif says, you know, gives us social etiquettes. إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَصَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْصَحُوا يَفْصَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. What is this? It's social etiquettes. إِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. What is this? So social etiquettes is part of your deen. And we don't even consider it as part of our deen. Isn't that a great mistake? Allah Baktawfi Nisibat.